Welcome to the OIS Podcast, where you get candid conversations with the leaders and drivers of ophthalmic innovation. And now, here's our host, Tom Salemi.
Welcome to the OIS Podcast. This is Tom Salemi, and today we're going to talk about ophthalmology in space. We actually broke a bit of news at OIS in Chicago with an announcement of a partnership between a NASA-funded group and the ophthalmology industry to find some way to treat some very serious eye disorders associated with space travel. Here to provide details are Dorit Donoville, Deputy Chief Scientist and Industry Forum Lead from the National Space Biomedical Research Institute, which is funded by NASA. And we also have Randy McDonald, Founder and President of the Magnum Group. It's a business development firm that specializes in new technology and ophthalmology. They work with companies in licensing, mergers and acquisitions, and finding strategic partners. Welcome, both of you, to the program.
Thanks, Tom, for having us.
Great. Normally, I spend a good deal of time writing questions for these interviews, but this is the kind of story that sort of just tells itself. It's really fascinating, so let's just hop into it. Dorit, why don't you first tell us a bit about your role at NSBRI, and then maybe you can tell us how this problem came to your attention.
Right. Thanks a lot. So NSBRI is a very unique institute. It's an institute of excellence that NASA created about 17 years ago. We are charged with solving problems of humans in space. So anything to do with keeping humans healthy and productive in the environment of spaceflight for long duration is within our purview. And we actually make grants and identify problems and research questions that the scientific community, both companies as well as academic groups, can solve. And we have to essentially cover a lot of different areas, as you can imagine.
What are some of the issues that folks who travel in space, space travelers, face in ophthalmology?
In ophthalmology. So ophthalmology is a fairly new area that we've delved into the last several years. Astronauts are exhibiting very dramatic ocular changes during and after long-duration spaceflight, including some fairly significant hyperoptic refractive error shifts. We're seeing optic disc edema. We're seeing choroidal folds. And we're seeing some globe flattening and cotton wool spots. And this is occurring in a fairly large percentage of the astronauts. About 70% of them are exhibiting some form of these changes. We've known that vision changes in space over the years, but most recently the optic disc edema and some of these other findings have become more obvious and more prevalent, and so we're very concerned about that.
And what sort of impact is that having on their vision? How serious are these conditions?
Right. So we're having to correct vision. The problem is in spaceflight, we're not able to determine exactly the refractive changes. And so we're sending up different pairs of glasses, and that takes care of some of the vision issues.
Interesting.
But the optic disc edema and some of these other changes are pathologies that we're very worried about, because they may indicate that some of these changes may be long-term and may not be reversible and can actually cause some serious vision loss.
Interesting. And how did this, you've identified the problem, how did you arrive at the solution of working with industry and meeting up with Randy and the Magnum Group?
Right. So NASA is a very traditional type of organization. It usually reaches out to the community through its annual solicitations. And the folks that are really good at writing proposals and research grant type of works are universities. And the problem with working just with universities is oftentimes the products that they develop take many, many years and a lot of dollars to get out to the hands of the users. And we need solutions right away. So my institute has put in place an industry forum group, which I've led, to reach out to companies, because companies are traditionally very good at being very lean and getting products out quite quickly. And we feel that having state-of-the-art technologies that are being brought to bear on the needs of the space program through the contacts and the reach that folks such as Randy and the Magnum Group have and others in the industry is really the most cost-efficient way to get products to NASA right now.
Randy, this seems like a great opportunity for the Magnum Group to really make a difference. How do you see this this program working going forward? What are you trying to help do?
We're primarily acting as a facilitator. And when I first talked with Dorit a couple months ago about this vast array of visual disorder issues that the space program was dealing with in terms of long-term spaceflight, it became immediately clear that we needed to put together a team approach to taking these issues on. Even though the Magnum Group works on a worldwide basis with a number of new technologies and innovators, it was bigger than us. And so what I proposed to Dorit and her team was to put together a group of clinicians and business people that are on the leading edge of technology within ophthalmology that has specific skill sets and understanding of these particular issues. So we put together a group of seven people, eight including myself, broken into two different groups. One are people that are clinicians, but that totally understand how to work with the commercial side of ophthalmology. So they're not deep in the weeds just trying to do experiments, but they understand that at the end of the day we need to be able to find a commercial application. And the second was to put together a group of business leaders that look at a number of different technologies on a worldwide basis, and combined it was our belief that by putting these people in the same room, we would, between us all, we would probably be able to look under just about every stone there is to find solutions. So that was the strategy. That's what we've employed. We've put the team together now.
So, Randy, can you are you able to tell us who will be helping you in this effort? Who is on the team that you helped assemble?
Sure, happy to do that. As I mentioned a moment ago, there are eight members of the team, four business people, and four clinicians. So let me begin with the clinicians. First one, very well known on a worldwide basis, is Richard Lindstrom. Second is Jean Dewan, who's a retinal specialist. Kuldav Singh, who runs glaucoma department for Stanford. And last, but certainly not least, is Steve Schallhorn, who used to run the refractive enterprise for the U.S. Navy. Those are the clinicians that are going to be on the team. From a business standpoint, we have Bill Link, who is probably one of, if not the most prolific investor in the ophthalmic industry and understands all things ophthalmology. We also have Jane Rady, who heads up strategy and business development for Abbott Medical. And we have Paul Hallen, who runs the retina division of Alcon, but previously ran Research Alliance for Alcon, and between Jane and Paul and Bill, there's not too many things they haven't looked at in ophthalmology. And last is myself, and we've already discussed that.
And how do you see this program unfolding? Will you be looking for people to submit ideas to you? Will you be on the hunt for ideas yourself? And how do companies and innovators sort of get find out information about this program and perhaps get involved?
Yeah, so we already have a program in place that we are going to focus on this particular venture together. So I've mentioned before that typically the types of research that we fund is through research grants and university-based research, but we've created a program called SMARTCAP. It stands for Space Medical and Related Technologies Commercialization Assistance Program. We love our acronyms when we work with the space program. SmartCap gives awards $100K to $250K in non-dilutive funding for a project for small companies, in general small companies, for a year to 18 months of a project. And it has to be matched with non-Fed funds. So in other words, the company needs to come up, raise a match of 100%. And typically companies have not had problems doing that. But we're looking for accelerating product development. So projects that have a very clear defined goals that move them along the commercial path, for example, proof of concept or prototype development or refinement of particular technologies, very kind of well-defined projects that bring a product along so that we can use it both in the space program but also have very good commercial prospects on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to offer at least three of these awards to small companies that meet our needs, and the team is actually going to help us identify what sorts of technologies are going to be very important for NASA to have, and we're going to be issuing out this national opportunity for companies to come in and compete for these non-dilutive grant funding.
And how large are these grants? Can these grants be?
We're going to start with $100K,
mm-hmm.
but there's opportunities, if they do really well, that we might take them forward in additional funding beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Great. And you've mentioned earlier, I think, that you've done this program in other areas.
Yes.
Where have you had some success in?
Oh, we've had lots of successes. We started in 2011. We've made, let me think now, either 7 or 9, I can't remember now, awards. The latest awardee is a small company called Zetros that has a portable ultrasound, therapeutic ultrasound device that can help with lower back pain and other musculoskeletal injuries.
Hmm.
Other areas that we focused in most recently has been brain devices that can assess intracranial pressure and intracranial fluid. One of our award winners is called CerebroTech, and they have a device that's non-invasively assessing fluid levels in the brain, which we think might be related to this vision issue. So in the past, we've had a focus on brain and other types of diagnostic devices, and now we're zeroing in on the ocular and the ophthalmology issues, and really hoping that the industry can help us solve these problems by providing solutions that can meet the needs in space.
Randy, it's going to be a great opportunity to work on something like this.
Yes. It's an extraordinary opportunity, not only for this team, but for the other people that we're going to be bringing into the program as we go forward. The 8 people that are going to be initially involved are going to be just the beginning. We're already starting to talk to other members of the ophthalmic community that have either had some brief experience with NASA in the past or have specific knowledge and technical expertise that we'll be bringing in to help augment what the initial group of 8 will be doing. So we plan on when we meet in Houston in November, putting together a plan to bring other assets to the table so that we're getting the best of everybody working on this problem. Because these problems, even though they're being experienced in outer space, there are countless, and you just heard Dorit delineate some of them, but there are countless experiences that have taken place in technology that's come out of the U.S. space program that have gone on to become commercial products. And so we're looking for that opportunity here as well, so that it doesn't just impact a handful of astronauts that are trying to go to Mars, but it'll impact mankind at large.
Terrific. Dorit, there's obviously a wide range of technologies out there in ophthalmology. What are some things that might could specifically be applied to what you're looking for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're very careful that we don't ask companies to do to do any work that would only be applicable for the space program. We're really looking to align with their path to commercialization for Earth as well. We believe that that's the best case scenario. But in general, we're looking for things that are very lightweight, that have a small footprint in terms of how much energy they require, consumables, what sort of training one would need in order to operate it. We certainly can't have astronauts having to spend many, many hours learning how to use a piece of equipment. It has to be able to be implemented by what we call lower-cost providers. And they have to be devices that give you very quantitative data that you can actually use in clinical decision-making. So all of these things really sets the bar quite high for these devices. But what we believe is that for by building for space, or really raising the bar on all of these things, actually makes the products more competitive in the Earth markets as well. And we've seen that across the board as we partnered with small companies, and we sort of helped them along a path for building for space. They've discovered new commercial opportunities for their products in Earth markets as well. And so we're looking for that alignment, that perfect alignment between what the company wants to achieve and what we need for space. So we really feel that that's the win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm. So looking for the next Velcro or the next Tang, huh? Something that can be successful on Earth. And Dorit, how might these devices that are developed, how might they help people on Earth?
Right, that's a great question. So, you know, this isn't just about solving a problem that only astronauts have on in space. We're actually looking to better understand disease processes of the eye in general. So, for example, optic disc edema, which I've described in astronauts, that happens in patients here on Earth that have elevated intracranial pressure. And in particular, there's patients that have a condition called idiopathic intracranial hypertension, and they can go blind. And so by understanding what's going on in space, we're actually pushing the envelope on understanding conditions that are similar here on Earth. The other similar sort of problems that folks on Earth experience is glaucoma. So many folks have a pressure change that happens across their eye, and what we think is happening in space may actually be a reverse glaucoma. And so because it forces you to literally think about things in an upside-down manner, it really challenges the researchers in the field to explore new hypotheses and create new experimental systems and paradigms to better understand what's going on across those very delicate chambers in the eye. And so by trying to solve these problems for space, we're really actually making a lot of inroads and a lot of impacts for medicine and science here on Earth for patients who are suffering from similar sorts of problems.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of opportunities. This is great. Thank you so much for introducing this story at OIS, and I look forward to tracking your progress.
Pleasure. I'm so glad that you can help us reach more folks.
We'll definitely do that. Thanks again.
Thank you, Tom.
On behalf of the entire OIS team, I'd like to thank the hundreds of clinicians, investors, and entrepreneurs who joined us in Chicago for a great discussion of ophthalmology's future. For our own ongoing coverage and analysis of the conference, and for news of future events, please visit OIS.net.
OIS is now accepting applications for presenting companies. Share your technology and clinical data with over 800 industry executives, investors, and key opinion leading ophthalmologists. To be considered for the Ophthalmology Innovation Showcase, apply online at www.ois.net/application.